Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for the love. I feel it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for giving me that welcome. Like my husband said, if this is your first Sunday here at Wellspring, I am not the pastor, but I do have the privilege of being married to the pastor, and I am honored that he asked me to take this stage today and to come to you and to share just a little bit about a breakthrough that God has developed in my heart over this summer. And I always like to take a second at the very beginning of any time I teach up here to say thank you publicly to my husband, first for doing this every week. I say it every time. I'm like, gosh, I don't know how you do this every week. But I'm thankful for that. But even more importantly, your obedience and your surrender to the parts that people who know you as a leader don't even see. And how he leads our family and how he leads this church. And I needed you guys to hear that from my heart, that it is something that I don't take for granted most of the time, right? So thank you for leading us so well. And I am super excited to be up here with you today because God has done something amazing in my life this summer. And I've really had a breakthrough. We're in this series, Summer Breakthrough. And as I was preparing for today and praying, I want you to know I have been praying for you to have the same thing happen. I was actually supposed to teach another message today, and I felt God tell me, this is something I'm going to change in your life. He showed this to me, and then I want to share it with you. Because I have been amazed at the summer breakthroughs that we've had this last couple of weeks here at Wellspring, but I'm not surprised. Because that's the kind of God that we seek and the kind of God that we serve. And he wants to do amazing things in your life. And so I hope just sharing a little bit today about what he's done in mine will help you see that in your life. And my summer breakthrough kind of began. I was talking to my leadership coach. We take leadership very seriously here at Wellspring. And one of the ways that we do that is once a month, I get a chance to talk to someone who works with churches all over the U.S. About how I can be a better leader, how I can help people grow. If you were here last week, you heard my husband's message on that. If not, you should go back and listen to it. And come back next week, because he's really good at this, what I'm having to do right now. He's great at it. So come back next week. But when you're in a place where you're helping lead people, or you're what I like to call pouring out, so you may think, oh, I don't really lead people. Okay, so if you're in a relationship, you experience what I'm about to talk about. If you have a family member, you experience what I'm talking about. If you have kids, whoa, you definitely experience what I'm about to talk about. If you have a friend, you experience what I'm about to talk about. Because I came to my coach and I said, I'm really frustrated by the fact that I have people in my life who don't grow, don't, you know, pay attention to the things I'm teaching them, and they continue to do the same things over and over again. And there's a heartbreak that I have that eventually turns to frustration over the fact that they aren't changing their life. Nothing about them is changing. And I get so frustrated by it, selfishly. It starts with me being heartbroken because I watch the train wreck happen over and over and over again. But then it turns to frustration because I'm like, why aren't they listening? Why aren't they listening to what God's trying to tell them? And she said to me, she's so good. She's so good at just like, you know, easing me into it. She's like, Danny, I understand that frustration. And I see that in people a lot. But what God's taught me over time, this is what she said, is it's just an area in their life where they refuse to grow. An area where they refuse to grow. Now, have you ever been in conversation with somebody and they say something and you don't hear anything else after they say it? That happens to me almost every week here when my husband's talking. But I'll be like, we really shouldn't have paid for the rest of that session because I don't remember anything else that she said after that. Because it was like God just stopped me in my tracks. And I hope us covering this today is going to do the same thing for you in your life. Because she said there's an area they refuse to grow. I felt those edges of me that are like, why isn't this changing? Why isn't it different? And I got hit with, oh my goodness, I have those areas in my life just the same, and who am I to get frustrated with the fact that this is the area in their life that I see that isn't changing? And now that's probably enough of a breakthrough for some of you in your relationships in your life to carry that out of here, but that is only the tip of the iceberg for what God began to do in my life when I heard her say it's an area they refuse to grow. Because what God led me to do and what he challenged me to do and what I'm going to challenge you to do today is to ask the question, what areas of my life do I need to grow? What are the areas of my life where I need to say, this is not okay? What areas of my life am I holding back from God and saying, you don't get say over this? This one's mine. And we kind of have to visit that question today because God wants more for your life. Please know that that's where we're headed in this. What God's been teaching me over the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to share one of my struggles that I've had with this, an area I refuse to grow in just a few minutes. But as I was thinking about this and I was praying through it, and I'm like, God, I don't want there to be areas of my life where I just refuse to grow, where I refuse to admit it. Will you show me what that looks like? Will you show me what those areas are in my life? And he gave me a great picture. I think you said it whenever you came out for the welcome or the offering. The picture he gave me was the Heisman. When you tell God, I have this, get out of my way, you're giving him the Heisman and saying, you don't get this part of my life. This is for me, not you. And it breaks his heart because he has planned so much more for you. And I'm really glad I caught that ball. Abby hooked me up. She didn't fill it up. What's the name of the player who deflated? What is? Y'all know it. Okay, so it's deflated. So I would have an easier time catching the ball. Because my dad, who's sitting in the front row, is awesome. I had two younger siblings growing up, and they were way more athletic than I was in the, like, ball kind of sports. I mean, I enjoyed gymnastics and dance and cheerleading and that kind of thing. And so occasionally I'd get into the throwing of the ball in the yard, and inevitably either he or my brother would end up saying, you throw ball at the ball like a girl. And I would just go, I am a girl, and I'd run off, you know. But I will back that up to say, amazing parents that I have, they allowed me to pursue the stuff that I felt like God was letting me pursue. Like, they built me my own balance beam so I could be a gymnast, and they drove me all over the place so I could train. And so just a note for you parents whose girls, you know, throw the ball like they're a girl. They might should be doing something else in their life. So anyway, back to the Heisman. I don't want us to lose this, the Heisman, because this is exactly the picture of what it looks like when you're saying, God, this is mine. You get out of the way. I don't need you in this part of my life. And we have to ask that question. If we ever want to live the life that God has planned for us, we have to ask the question, what am I holding back? What am I telling God, you can't have this? Sorry. I got all excited and got like way ahead, so I need to come back to my notes to make sure I'm not forgetting anything that God already laid on my heart to share with you. So when we're asking the question, okay, I feel that, God. I want you to dig deep today with me. I really want you to ask yourself these questions, right? What is something that I hold on to in my life, that I have a stronghold on and I'm pushing you out? What is that thing in my life? What's an area where I refuse to grow? Because you've probably experienced this in your life. You are holding tight and pushing God out, and you think you have a hold of this, but eventually it will have a hold on you. And it keeps you from the life that God sent Jesus to die to give all of us. And so we have to say to ourselves, all right, I feel like there are things in my life that might fit that description. Something where I'm giving God the Heisman, an area I refuse to grow. How do we know? I call them strongholds. It's a common word you'll hear. A stronghold. And this is what strongholds do. Strongholds steal our focus and cause us to feel overpowered. They steal our focus and they cause us to feel overpowered. So what in your life does that? What in your life causes you to feel overpowered and steals your focus? Let me clear that up a little bit. What is a habitual sin in your life and in my life that steals our focus away from God and makes us feel overpowered by someone who wants us to steal, kill, and destroy our life? That's your stronghold. Whatever God is bringing to your mind right now, just like he did in my life, that is your stronghold. So while you're continuing to think about yours, I did want to be real with you and share my stronghold with you. And it's something that I have dealt with for years, and only in the last couple of weeks did I realize what a powerful hold it had in my life. And my stronghold, the thing that keeps me feeling overpowered and focusing on it instead of my relationship with God and other things, is my health. I have some health issues, some autoimmune disease with my thyroid that requires me to take extra good care of my body. There's things I need to be doing, exercising. I don't really love to do that. There's supplements I should be taking regularly, and I forget, or I didn't really want to eat breakfast, so then I don't want to have to take supplements because then I'll put, you know. And I also really love good food that's not always necessarily healthy, that doesn't fuel my body, doesn't nourish me, you know, those kind of things. I love to cook. I love to go out to eat. If you've never been on a food tour, they're life-changing. So you can take that nugget today. Go on a food tour. If you're ever in a big city, they're incredible. So that hope that gives you the context through which I love food, and I don't love exercise, and quite frankly, I don't have enough time to take care of my health and my body. Or at least that's what I say. And whenever I started asking the question, God, what am I holding back from you? Immediately, he said, your health. It's getting in the way of what I want to do through you. So whatever came to mind for you is getting in the way of what God wants to do in your life. Maybe some of you identify with that with me. And you know, just like me, you use every excuse in the book to not take care of yourself. But maybe yours is different. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's such a part of your life that you don't even know it's happening. Is it affecting those relationships around you? Is it every time you go to talk to someone, you hear yourself, oh my gosh, I am speaking so poorly about this person and I'm not speaking life into them? Is it a stronghold for you? Or maybe it's social media, and I'm speaking to some of the teens because I know this is something, and oh, forget it, adults too. But does it steal your focus and make you feel overpowered? Does social media do that for you? Or Pokemon Go? Or the next thing that I can't keep up with, and my children don't have phones yet, praise Jesus. Because whenever it's stealing your focus and it's causing you to feel overpowered, taking your focus off of God, it's going to lead you down the trap. Social media is comparison. Maybe yours is addiction. Please hear the weight behind which I say that. I don't say it lightly. Are you addicted to something that you have to make it through your day? And I don't want to talk, I'm not trying to get into legalism, but think about it. Do you have to have it to get through your day? Because whatever that is, Jesus wants to take the place of that. Your relationship with Jesus should be in the place of that. Maybe it's fear over what the unrest in our world. I get that. I just had to talk to my 11-year-old about terrorism the other day. Maybe it's unforgiveness. You have a right to hold on to the grudge you have against the person who hurt you, but it is only hurting you and not them. Who do you need to forgive? Whatever the stronghold is in your life, whatever God is speaking to you right now, I want you to be honest with yourself and admit it internally that you see it. God, I know this is an area that I'm taking and I am pushing you out. I am giving you the Heisman. Crazy enough, we think we're hiding it. If you think about that picture of the Heisman, we think we're hiding it. I think I'm hiding the fact that I struggle sometimes if I don't get 10 hours of sleep because I'm so fatigued because I don't take care of my body. I think I'm hiding it, saying if nobody can see it and God, you're not in it, it's not happening. But that's not reality. And it's not fun to think about. But I promise you, because I've lived it, it will set you free if you tell yourself the truth today and in this moment. Don't let it pass if God is talking to you, speaking to your heart about this. And now you're like, okay, I successfully feel beat up a little. I successfully feel burdened a little. You are identifying what it is that God wants you to let go of in your life and to admit that you're holding and pushing him out. What are we going to do about it? Let's find the key. What are the steps we're going to take if you know what God's asking you to change, an area you refuse to grow, and you want to change it? Well, if it's an area that we refuse to grow, we have to change the opposite of that and be determined to grow. So I want you right now, in this moment with me, I want you to change your mind and say, I am going to be determined to grow in this area. I am not going to let it take any more of the life that God died to give me. I am going to be determined to grow. And whenever I, in my own life, got to that place, one of the things that God began to show me were some keys that we could do to break through our stronghold. And I need you to hear me when I say, I am walking through this with you. I am struggling with it, just like you will. But God has been so good to empower me and to give me some things that are rooted in his word, in the Bible, in scripture, that have helped me make big steps to changing this stronghold, this area I refuse to grow in my life. So we're going to look at four keys. Like I said, I'm going to give you scripture for every single one. Because one of the things that I have learned from walking through different areas of my life, but especially this one, when you are battling something that it seems big, too big for you, or too little for God to care about, or too messy, because you're like, I don't do messy. I live with four boys, so I do messy. But if you feel that way, if you feel like this is too big, this is too much, you're going to need to go to God's word to give you a specific answer for your specific need, something we learned in the Bible study I did with our women back in the winter. His word will give you a specific answer for your specific need, and we're going to look at that today, so we're going to be jumping around a little bit. But let's go to the four keys that God gave me as I've been walking through this struggle of letting go of the strongholds in my life. So four keys to break through a stronghold is recognize your doubt. Guys, I had to be really honest with myself and say, this is an area I feel like is too big for you, God. Do you know how many times a day I eat? Do you know how much effort it takes to plan your meals and be healthy and do the things that I know that I need to do because of my health problems? Do you know how hard that is? God, this is too much. It's too much for you to be in this. I doubted that he wanted it to change, and I often doubt if it's even a big deal. But I know that when he laid it on my heart that it was a stronghold, it became a very big deal. Because there's nothing that I want to take to say, God, you don't have this. I want to give it all to you. So I recognized my doubt, and I applied God's scripture to the area that I needed it. And the verse, of course, that he always brings to me when I'm dealing with this is Philippians 4:13. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things. what you're thinking about right now that you don't think you can change, God's saying, no, all things. Give it to me. All things. You can do it because he's going ahead of you and he wants you to be free from this in your life. The next thing I did after, next kind of breakthrough that God gave me, after recognizing my doubt, I realized that I needed to refocus my thoughts. Do you know how much damage or good can be done in the real estate between your two ears? Oh my goodness. It is a battleground. It's a battleground. And the lie that I had when I had my doubts, the lie that I was believing that God didn't want to change this, or that it was too much, or it was not that big a deal, has to change here if I ever want to see progress, if I ever want to break free from the stronghold. So the scripture that God gave me is, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And Paul wrote that in the letter to Corinth, to the church in Corinth. But look at this, demolish arguments. Those arguments you have in your head, is God really, do you want me to change this? Is this really something in my life that needs to be different? Arguments, arguments, arguments. What does it say? It sets itself up. It's a lie. Those arguments are a lie. And what? How do we change the lie? We take thought every we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. What are you going to believe? The lie or the truth? The stronghold in your life? The big old pink football that you know is glaring at you? What are you going to believe? The lie or the truth? Take captive your thoughts. Refocus your thoughts on God's truth. And you're going to have to do it in real play time. You can gear up, have your scriptures ready, but in real play time, you're going to have to call an audible. God, that's a lie. I know it. I'm going to cling to your truth instead of believing it. After you refocus your thoughts, the next thing we need to do, it's the hardest one because it takes action. But we need to relinquish control. When we have a stronghold in our life, anything we're saying, God, I'm giving you the Heisman, you don't get this, we have to change our stance. We have to change our position. We have to go from here to here. You have to say, God, I'm giving this to you because it's too big for me to do by myself, and I refuse to live enslaved to this anymore. And the good thing is, when you start to have small victories, and you got to count those small victories, because we already know what it feels like to lose to this. Let's see what it feels like to win for it. We already know what it feels like to feel overpowered by it. Let's see what it feels like to say, no, that's a victory. That's a victory. This is a victory. God, I'm giving this to you. And the last thing, this is going to be the hardest one. Oh, I didn't read my scripture for that. I'm so sorry. There's scripture rooted in this promise because it's not just my thoughts. This is God-given, and this is God-breathed. This is what he says. The psalmist writes in Psalm 55:22, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall away from him. Give. It's an action. You got to give it to him. It's not too big, it's not too irrelevant, it's not too messy for the God who made you and this universe to handle, and equip yourself with that and walk in it in confidence. And the last one, sorry, I'm going to need this for this one. The last one that God, and this is going to be the hardest one, is you have to reveal this stronghold to someone that you trust. When you're hiding it, you think you got it under control. But guys, we need someone to help us be accountable to the strongholds. It's why we have a core value that says circles are better than rows at Wellspring. Because we have to share with someone you trust. I'm not saying you blast it on social media. I'm not saying you tell everybody that you come in contact with. I'm saying you find one person that can hold you accountable and you tell them, God wants to change this in my life. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I need someone to help me hold me accountable. Let me give a little wisdom around that. Make sure it's someone who's been a Christ follower ahead of you or you've seen God do something in their life. I have this for me. I went to a friend of mine who I've seen God totally turn around their health and their confidence and their stamina and their ability to love other people because they corrected their health and it was led by him. So I went to this friend of mine and I said, will you keep me accountable? And man, I got a really overzealous, amazing accountability partner. She is awesome. She'll send me prayer. She sends me scripture. She's always reminding me, what's the why you're doing it? What is God asking you to do? She's amazing. And you need that in your life because sometimes it gets hard to hold. You need to say, I am struggling with this. Will you please help me remember I'm not alone in it? Will you please help me remember the promises that God's given me, that he wants me to be a conqueror in this? He wants to see me overcome this. Will you help me remember? That's enough. You know what? I'm going to throw it back to you. Yeah. No, just kidding. It would have been fine if I dropped it because here's the thing. When you drop it, you are forced to change your stance. When you drop it like a girl, if you have to, you are forced to change your stance. It's no longer in your control. I don't want that stronghold in my life. God, I'm going to give it to you. So the scripture that I have for this, God's word says, is to share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. It's Galatians 6:2. See, the last two are actions. You got to give it to God and you've got to share it with somebody you trust so that they can remind you of the truth that makes all of this work we're going to have to do worth it. The reason we cannot allow this to be how we live our life, the reason we can't ignore it, the reason we can't push God away and try to hide it and hold on to it is because Jesus came and he died for us so that we could live a life that was free. He died, he came for us because we were made for more than living our life that way. You were made for more. You were made for more. You were made for more than to walk through holding tight, pushing God out, saying, you don't get this part of me. God, I want to change my stance. I want to say, you get this. Because I know that that's what you desire for my life. I know that I'm going to be free. The way I put it, and the way I really ask God when I am walking through the hardest parts of this is, God, I want to be fully alive. I want to live the life that you desire for me. I know that you created me. He created you, so he's the only person who sees your full potential. So we have to drop the Heisman, and we have to say, God, I give this to you. And I'm going to do a selfish little plug here, that we, this Made for More, we're doing a Bible study, one of our circles for our women here in the fall, starting September 13th, and it's a Bible study called Restless, and it's because you were made for more, to take those parts of our life where we say, okay, I'm just going to make it, I'm just going to keep going, and I'm going to say, God, you get this. Because I know you made me for more. And I can't wait to unpack that all together with the women in our church, if that's a small group, a circle that you decide to be a part of. But I really wanted you to leave here today. I wanted to share this part of my life with you, that what God's doing. And again, hear me. I am walking through it with you. I have days where I think it's a lot easier just to say, God, I got this. It's not that big a deal. But he has put it on my heart that it is a huge deal. And I know it's because he's preparing me to do something, and if I can't physically do it, I won't be able to do what he's asked me to do. So what is it that God's put on your heart today? I begged him this week that you would know or you would at least be challenged to go out and ask the question, what area am I refusing to grow? I begged him that you would be able to say, God, where am I giving you the Heisman? Where am I telling you, get out of this? I pray that you walk out of here equipped, knowing that there are four keys you can do, and that you can go to God's word to be grounded and to, in his scripture, and that you know that you have an answer to your specific need that comes in that. That you would be able to refocus your thoughts, that you would be able to recognize the doubt, that we would be able to relinquish the control and then tell somebody that we love and trust. And I want you to know that as I'm walking through this, I am feeling little victories. And man, it just makes me run around harder to God in this and thank him for what he's doing. I am feeling the victory of, you know what, today I felt better. I'm feeling the victory of, I just made a choice, God, to eat healthy. And I'm seeing the result in that. And I'm not a slave to that anymore for this meal. We're going to walk to the next one because it's going to be that way. It is a hand in hand, you and God. We're going to close today by singing one of my favorite songs. And I'm hoping it's a time that you're able just to come to God, be honest with yourself and with him about what your stronghold is. And then I want you to walk out of here with hope and knowing that whatever it is you feel like God is asking you to have a breakthrough, whatever stronghold he's asking you to break through, he's going ahead of you, and he says you're victorious because of how much he loves us. So I'm actually going to pray some scripture over you as band's going to come out. We're going to sing a song in just a second. So everybody bow their heads. God, we just thank you. We thank you so much for what you're doing in our hearts and our life. We thank you that you don't want us to keep anything from you, even the hardest, the messiest, the most delicate parts of our life that we don't think we can handle. You want us to trust it to you because you want to bring us healing. And you want to say we're victorious. You say in Romans 8, in all these things, we are completely victorious through God who showed his love for us. I pray today that we walk out of here confident in that love, confident that you're walking with us, confident that there is nothing you don't want to break through in our life. And we thank you, and we ask that this time we reflect and we focus on you, and that we walk out of here keeping that focus on what you want to do in our life. We love you. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.